freaking command center. I have to send you a picture of, like, my desk. It looks insane.
My microphone has to be on a cardboard box now because I had to get a new microphone and it's too low. So oh. My desk is also, like, such a weird setup.
Yeah. This just looks way more professional than this podcast or I am.
I'm opposite. I got a box on my desk and like I got like a I had to pull up a side table. I've got two chairs in here because one chair is too squeaky.
Yeah. I am also two chairs because my main chair was too squeaky and I was like, I can't keep pulling all these squeaks out of the episodes. All right. So welcome to So 5 Minutes Ago, the podcast where we examine the greatest 80s teen movies. We're your hosts, Kate.
And Shannon.
Welcome back, listeners. Thank you for joining us. Holy moly. I'll just go ahead and take this opportunity to say don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I don't know how it helps, but somehow it does. I think it mostly just helps other people find us.
Yeah.
So if you like us, go ahead and give us as many stars as you feel like you want to. This week, we are talking about the 1985 film, The Legend of Billie Jean.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. This is a movie I was not too familiar with. I didn't watch it growing up, and I only saw it for the first time like a year ago after you recommended it, Shannon. But I did really, really enjoy rewatching it for this podcast. What is your background with this movie?
Actually, Dave showed this movie to me, my husband did, some years ago. He brought it up and I was like, oh, I've never seen that. And he was just like, what? So he bought it because we couldn't find it anywhere. And yeah, I watched it and I was enthralled. So I'm so glad we're doing this one today.
Yeah, me too. I know. I've been excited to talk about it. And I'm glad that some of the listeners requested it too, because I would have thought this was like a lesser known movie.
Definitely.
And so the fact that other people wanted to hear us talk about it, I was like, yes, this will be fun. All right, so let's get into some behind the scenes and trivia. The movie was shot entirely on practical locations in Texas.
And it was actually really scorching hot all through filming. So some of the actors' close-up sweat is really glycerin and water, I guess, for the close-ups. But in most scenes, they were actually sweating. So that's why they just look like wet all the time.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think they needed the glycerin because everybody looks pretty sweaty all the time.
And red.
Yeah. That's like, I was telling Shannon that, I don't know, listeners, if you've ever seen Babes in Toyland, the Keanu Reeves version, but it's a Christmas movie that was clearly filmed in the dead of summer in like Van Nuys because it's supposed to be all wintry, but everybody is sweating through their costumes and red faced and like the wide shots of the background are just kind of like dead fields. At least this was, supposed to be in summer and appropriate. The movie stars Helen Slater as Billie Jean and Christian Slater in his first starring role. They play brother and sister in this movie, and even though they have the same last names, they are not related in real life. The original title of this movie was going to be Fair is Fair, a title so boring, I had to refer back to it 3 times when putting this in my notes because I kept forgetting what it was because it's so bland. And it's like, I guess, they say it a lot in the movie, but I was just like, thank goodness they didn't go with that. That would have been so forgettable.
I know.
To just call this Fair is Fair. there was apparently a dance rave scene filmed.
Yes.
And it was cut from the final draft of this movie. Boo.
Yeah, I will call your attention to what scene that's in when we get there. Another interesting fact is that the original screenwriter for this was uncredited in the movie because I guess he was blacklisted in the McCarthy era. And I can't remember his name, and I actually tried to Google him, but I couldn't find any information on it on the web at all.
Wow.
They were talking about it on the DVD commentary, which I also watched. It was very interesting. But yeah, so as soon as you know that this was written by a blacklisted writer, the themes of like fighting for truth and justice jump right out at you.
Oh, yeah.
Not that they wouldn't anyway, but it just makes it so much more poignant.
For sure. That's crazy. when I read that in your notes. I was like, what now? Okay. All right, let's get into it. So we open with a shot of teen Billie Jean, played by Helen Slater, whom you might also recognize as Supergirl, and her brother Binks, who is played by Christian Slater. They leave the trailer park where they live on Binks's Honda Elite motor scooter, like a cool 80s gas-powered one. And buckle up, everyone, because there's going to be a buttload of scooter talk in this movie.
Yeah. The scooter is definitely the MacGuffin in the film, and they refer to it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Don't play a drinking game with Scooter.
You will die.
You'll die. A voice on the radio says it's going to be a hot one in Corpus Christi, which is accurate because, as we said, all the actors look sweaty and red-faced AF. As they're flying down the road, Billie Jean's blonde hair is whipping in the wind, and a carload of guys follows them, yelling at Billie Jean and taking pictures of her with, like, an old-style camera, which seems invasive. They follow them to a drive-in diner where they continue to harass Billie Jean until Binks throws a strawberry shake on one of the guys, and then they scoot away to the lake. So then there's some brotherly, sisterly swimming and splashing around. And while they're sunning on a floating deck, dreaming of Vermont, a place with snow and no alligators. And at this point, I was like, are alligators a threat in Texas? So I Googled it, and Texas ranks third behind Florida and Louisiana in alligator population.
That's crazy. So, I had no idea.
Me neither.
Never Texas.
So, yeah. So as they are floating around on this dock, the car full of guys that was following them shows up and starts messing around with Binks's scooter. Also, the guy with the camera keeps snapping pictures this whole time. Like, in a non-digital age, film isn't cheap. What are you taking pictures of?
I think
stop it.
Film actually was cheap back then, actually. But getting it developed, I think, was expensive as hell. So
yeah,
that kid's probably got, like, a drawer full of used film canisters and a mom who's like, Gregory, I'm not paying to see any more pictures of trees and beer cans. Because that's kind of what my childhood was like. I just had all kinds of developed film for pictures of just who knows what.
Yeah. And especially at a time when it was, like, before digital, you couldn't see what your pictures looked like.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You're just kind of, like, rolling the dice.
Yeah.
Hopefully the one picture I took at that event to capture my memories for all of time turned out. And it's like, nope, the flash was weird. Now it's just white.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Nope, your film got exposed. Every picture is mm-hmm. black.
Yeah, seriously. All right, so Binks tries to fight them, and then the main bully, whose name is Hubie, pushes him in the dirt and speeds off on his scooter. Billie Jean says, don't worry, they'll get it back, meaning the scooter. Back at home that night, Billie Jean and Binks's mom and her very severe blush are running out the door to go on a date.
Yeah, this is the 80s I grew up in, by the way. Like, this trailer, the oscillating fan that's just blowing around warm air, her mom in pumps, this whole scene resonated with me so much.
Binks is bummed about his scooter, but Billie Jean is confident that it'll be returned. And just then they hear a beep beep of a horn and run out front, but then it's just like some guy in a golf cart, and then Binks runs off into the night, determined to get his bike back. He's just like, no, and then just turns and books it into the night to, like, who knows where. So Billie Jean runs over to her neighbor's house to ask for a ride to the police station, and her friends, her neighbors, are Ophelia and Putter, who is played by a young Yeardley Smith, a.k.a. the voice of Lisa Simpson. Putter is supposed to be about 14 years old, but Yeardley Smith is actually 20 years old in, like, during the filming of this movie, which is unbelievable mm-hmm. because she looks so young.
She's so baby-faced, and her hair is, like, waist long in the movie, so mm-hmm. that just makes her look even more childlike. It's crazy.
Yeah. When they said she's 20, I was like, no, that can't be true. She looks straight up 14.
Yeah.
Also, everyone in this movie has a, quote, southern, quote, Texas mm-hmm. accent. But every time Yeardley Smith talks, it sounds exactly like that scene where Marge is playing Blanche DuBois in A Streetcar Named Desire, and she and Lisa are practicing their southern yeah. drawls for the play. It's
oh
all
gosh.
I can hear. All right, so next we're at the police station. Billie Jean has a sunburned face, is braless, and is wearing a cropped tank top that is barely a shirt.
It's barely a sports bra. It's so short. It's so cropped.
Yeah. while walking by jail cells, by the way. P.S. This is the same shirt that she was swimming in earlier, so she must smell hella lakey. Like, she just got out of the lake and went to the police station. And I'm definitely not victim blaming her, but also she has this conversation with Lieutenant Ringwald regarding her brother's scooter.
Well, I think it's best to maybe wait a day or two before I complicate things.
You don't know my brother. That scooter's his whole life.
Billie Jean, you're a very pretty girl. This Hubie was probably trying to get your attention. I have a feeling that he'll bring your brother's motor scooter back.
So then Lieutenant Ringwald tells her that if the scooter isn't returned in 2 days, to call him, and then they'll go arrest Hubie. Freaking Hubie. Okay, so when Billie Jean returns home that night, the scooter is, in fact, parked in front of her trailer, but it is destroyed in a way that I am not entirely convinced can be achieved by humans. It's bashed up, but there are also, like, giant chunks missing out of the seat, yeah, exposing the foam. Like, how? How?
They threw it in a lake and the alligators got at it, obviously.
That's seriously what it looks like.
Yeah.
But it's not the only thing that's bashed up good, because Billy goes inside and discovers Binks's staged blood-covered face. However, okay, I will say that the person in charge of makeup gave it 110%, because his face heals very slowly over the course of the entire movie, rather than just being perfect after, like, day three. Yeah. So I appreciate that attention to detail.
Yeah. And there was blood all over the pillowcase that he was laying on, too, in that scene. So good job, set dressers.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like, I think even in the very last scene, he still has, like, remnants of bruises,
like a,
and stuff.
Yeah, like a cut lip or something. Yeah.
They did a good job. Like, good for them. All right, so the next day, Billie Jean, Binks, and her friend Ophelia go pay a visit to Hubie at his job, where he works in one of those, like, seaside souvenir shops that sells a bunch of crap, like shell lamps and dried sea creatures and stuff, like ropes and buoys. Side note, Hubie in the scene is wearing a shirt that I would absolutely love to own. Like, it's, I mean, just you'll see it. Check it out in our visuals on Instagram at @so5minutesagopod. Okay, so Billie Jean issues Hubie an itemized bill for $608 for the damage to the scooter, and then issues a knee to Hubie's.
Oh, his poor Hubie's.
Yeah, and he goes down to the ground. Just then, Mr. Pyatt, who is Hubie's dad and the owner of this crap shack, comes in and tells Hubie to wait outside while he settles this whole scooter issue. So Mr. Pyatt and his gross mustache tell Billie Jean to follow him upstairs so that he can get her the $608. And then, oh geez, a very awful and upsetting scene happens where Mr. Pyatt sets out $50 and tells Billie Jean that they're going to have a, quote, special arrangement where every time she comes back to see him, he'll give her another $50. And then he starts pawing at her and grabbing her. And it is gross and sad.
It is.
So downstairs, Ophelia and Binks have come in, and Binks says that he knew Billy wouldn't get the money, so he pops open the cash register and discovers a revolver. Just then, Billie Jean breaks free and runs downstairs, where Mr. Pyatt runs in and grabs her and sees Binks holding the gun. Then Doofy Hubie walks in, and this happens.
Hubie, call the police.
Huh?
They come here to rob a store. Your little girlfriend suckered me upstairs so her pals could empty the register.
That's a lie. Let go of me.
Get on the phone, Hubie.
Nobody moves. You let her go and give us some money.
We'll get it later. Let's just get out of here.
You're not going anywhere. Get on that phone, Hubie.
He's got the gun, Dad.
So what? It's not even loaded. Think I keep a loaded gun in the cash register?
It's empty.
Ah!
Dad!
Oh, Jesus. My God! I'm getting out of here!
You killed him! You said it wasn't loaded.
So Binks shot Mr. Pyatt. Hubie, very unfazed, I might add, calls the police while Binks, Billie Jean, and Ophelia run away.
Hubie did yell, "You killed him!" practically before Pyatt even hit the floor, though.
That's true.
So,
but then he calls the police and he's just like, yeah. Hello, police. Like, if my dad was shot in front of me, I would be freaking out. Yeah. And he he's just like, hello, someone's been shot. And this is probably, okay, the first of like 100 times I'll say this, but at this point, I would like to remind everyone that so far, all of this that has happened is over a scooter. A scooter. Okay. Billy says that they have to go to the police. Ophelia says it's their word against Mr. Pyatt's and they'll never believe them. So back at the trailer park, Billy Jean and Binks hurriedly pack some bags to make a run for it. Putter, aka Lisa Simpson, decides to escape her abusive mom and run away with them too. So she packs her giant duffel bag full of clothes and stuffed animals and an entire aquarium's worth of marbles. You know, perfect for having to carry your own bag while fleeing. Yeah. When she's carrying it, it looks like a body bag, like a full-sized body in a
over
bag.
Her shul- slung over her shoulder in a fireman's carry.
We hear a radio report saying that police have a description and are searching for them to arrest them. Back at the crap shack, Lieutenant Ringwald is on the case and is interviewing Hubie about what happened. Ringwald recognizes Billie Jean as the girl that he talked to at the police station earlier and then brings up the scooter to Hubie, this effing scooter, I swear. That night, the four runaways spend the night in an abandoned mini golf course, and then the next morning, they're trying to figure out where to go, and while shopping in a convenience store, Billie Jean gets recognized by a couple of teens who show her the front page of a newspaper with her picture on it. When she says that she's innocent, they totally side with her and then pay for all the food that Putter has loaded into a shopping cart, which is like 65% Snickers bars. They also ask for her autograph.
And oh my gosh, Billie Jean's convenience store look here is so good. Mm-hmm. It's like paper bag shorts, suspenders, and a big black belt over this like tiny striped tank top. And her silvery flowing hair and her long dangly earrings and her tan skin. She's so beautiful.
I know. When the scene first came on, I was like, I don't know if I like this outfit or not. I couldn't decide. And then by the end, I was like, I love this outfit.
Yeah. Effortless.
She also does this. Yeah. And I think in this scene and then throughout the movie, she does that thing where she wears like a rolled up bandana.
Yeah.
As like a necklace, like around her neck.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's a thing I need to adopt for roller skating.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start working that in. If nothing else for sweat absorption.
Yeah, sweat catcher.
Yeah. The runaways find out that Mr. Pyatt, in fact, did not die from his gunshot. Billie Jean calls home where her mom answers the phone and then hands it over to Lieutenant Ringwald, and they have this conversation.
This is Lieutenant Ringwald, Billie Jean. I'd like to help you.
Yeah, I asked for your help, remember? I've been thinking a lot about what happened. And we're going to turn ourselves in.
That's great. You're a wise girl, Billie Jean.
But I want the $608, and I want Mr. Pyatt to give it to me.
Is that absolutely necessary?
He owes it to us.
Billie Jean!
I'll meet you noon tomorrow at Ocean Park Mall near the fountain.
That's great. I'll make all the arrangements.
And that's all we want. Fair is fair.
Back at the crap shack, a bunch of townies are looking at a wanted poster of Billie Jean featuring a photo of her climbing out of the lake from the beginning of the movie. So I guess that guy that was snapping a bunch of pictures came in handy after all, and I stand corrected.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that, because I was like, where the heck did they get that photo of her? I was so confused,
yeah.
And I did not put those two things together.
Yeah, I did the same thing at first, because I was like, oh, is this one of those things like, you know, in TV shows where they're like, oh, a slideshow. And the slideshow is just shots from the show that like nobody was there taking pictures.
Right.
So you're like, how do you have this picture?
Yeah.
I thought it was that kind of thing.
Me too.
At first. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, there was a guy with a camera
yeah.
there. So
awesome.
Good job, writers. Mr. Pyatt is inside the store with his arm in a sling, telling Lieutenant Ringwald that he is not going to pay for the scooter damage on account of him being shot. And okay, while I hate to side with the scumbag, because he's gross, I gotta say that if this went to court, his hospital bills would far outweigh the scooter damage.
Yeah.
But, you know, then these principled teens wouldn't have their, like, scooter crusade, and then this movie would be pointless, so we're all gonna press
yeah.
on together.
Yeah. Gunshots talk, and I guess principled teens walk, so.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So two girls and then some dude come in and ask if the wanted poster is for sale, and Mr. Pyatt sells it to them for $10 and says that he's going to have more photos in color and decides to make some money selling photos of Billie Jean. Hey, everyone, this is a bad guy.
He's a capitalist pig.
Ugh, he's so true.
I mean, he's
so
gross, though, for real.
Yeah, and, like, looks gross. Mm-hmm. Like, they did a really good job in this movie. I'll bring it up again later with very archetypal villains.
Yeah. I think like in the commentary on the DVD, I think Yardley Smith was saying that she was actually a little bit afraid of this actor because he was so in character. Gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, he's creepy. Mm-hmm. Is her name pronounced Yardley instead of Yeardley?
When they were talking, it was her and Helen doing the commentary, mm-hmm. and Helen kept calling her Yardley. So I don't know.
Well, we'll go with that from now on.
One of us is wrong.
Okay, so at the mall, the runaways doubt that the cops are actually going to bring them the money, but Billie Jean is confident and says that they have a plan. The plan involves them going to a toy store and stealing walkie-talkies and toy guns while Billie Jean leaves IOU notes in their places. Totally. I'm sure the toy store is going to be super cool with this plan. Like, they're just going to find the IOUs and be like, oh, it's okay, guys. They're going to pay us back. So in the mall courtyard, I guess, yeah. Mr. Pyatt and the cops are milling around. Lieutenant Ringwald starts to suspect that Mr. Pyatt isn't on the up and up. Oh, really? Pretty perceptive, Lieutenant. He's so obviously gross. Billie Jean comes down the escalator to meet Mr. Pyatt, and he goes to hand her an envelope, but then he drops it and yells a signal as Hubie leaps out from a potted plant, and then a very weird sped-up version of Billy Idol's Rebel Yell plays.
Yeah.
You think you made a deal? You made a mistake. The cops aren't going to help you. You would have loved it, Missy. Hillary!
So Hubie chases Billie Jean up the down escalator, but then she knees him in the Hubies again and he crumbles. This sounds like I'm describing a Benny Hill sketch, but it's all very dramatic.
It is. And again, her outfit here is great. It's like a full mechanic coveralls and a hat, but she's pulling it off.
Yeah, it does. It looks really great. Yeah, she's wearing like a fedora, but not like a douchey fedora, like an old style or like a derby or something. I don't know. It looks really good.
Yeah.
Side note, I was watching this with the captions on, and for some reason, the captions are all the TV versions. So there's like, they do subs for all the cuss words. And in this scene, Lieutenant Ringwald gets angry at Mr. Pyatt and yells, "You dumb son of a bitch." But the caption reads, "You dummy, vicious pig." Which I think is far superior.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I happened to pause it and I was like, dummy, vicious pig. So Billie Jean runs through the mall while some Hubie goons and cops chase her. But then, you guys, she opens her backpack and spills out a bunch of Lisa Simpson's aquarium marbles and the goons go slipping and sliding everywhere. Ooh. And then the camera cuts to Lieutenant Ringwald, who kind of smirks because he's, like, impressed with this girl's moxie.
Oh, yeah. He's on her side for sure.
Mm-hmm. He's like, get a load of this girl. The cops chase her into the parking garage where Binks pulls the toy gun on Lieutenant Ringwald, and then they get away. And this gun looks so fake. It's like a shiny plastic chrome revolver that no police officer would believe is real, but sure. In the mall, a news crew is interviewing eyewitnesses.
What do you think about this Billie Jean?
She's a rebel, you know. And I don't know, personally, I think they're picking on her because she's a girl. And I think that's disgusting.
Well, there you have a woman's perspective.
Women, am I right? That night, Ophelia and Lisa Simpson walk by a TV store and see their faces plastered all over a news story. Bink says that they should run away to Vermont. Ophelia says her dad's gonna kill her when he sees the damage that they've done to his car that they've all been driving around when they get home. But then Binks and Billie Jean give her a look that says they're not going home. Next, the runaways are driving through a swanky neighborhood, and then they find a house that, quote, looks empty, which is to say that all the lights are off, and it just looks like people who live there are probably asleep.
Yeah.
So they decide to go ahead and break in. Like, the runaways are bad at running away.
Yeah, it's like nighttime, and the lights are off. Why would you think it was an abandoned house?
Nothing about it. It doesn't. It's like the lawn isn't overgrown. Mm-mm. There's not like newspapers stacked up. It's not like they can see through the windows, and the furniture is all draped in like sheets, which is, I guess, a thing that rich people do when they go away. Like, there's none of that. It just looks like a dark house. So they raid the kitchen where Lisa Simpson pulls an entire chocolate cake out of the fridge. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, this house isn't empty. Leave immediately.
Yeah, and this is also how you know that these people are rich, because there's a whole chocolate cake just hanging out in the fridge just for the taking. And mm-hmm. also in the fridge, name brand peanuts. So
yeah,
they're rich for sure.
I know. Who just has a chocolate cake that's like, we'll get to this later?
I have so much chocolate cake. This one can just be in the fridge.
Yeah, and it's a huge square one. It's not
like a sheet
it's not
cake.
Like... Yeah, and it's not like none of it's taken out. It's not like a leftover cake. It's like a beautifully frosted new chocolate cake just in the fridge. So Billie Jean is wandering around the house and goes upstairs to discover a room filled with Halloween kind of decorations, complete with spooky sounds playing. I'm not making this up. It's like...
It's weird, yeah. It's,
yeah.
But it also like, looks like a recording studio. It's weird.
Yeah, like there's definitely like sound equipment and stuff, but it's like orange kind of lighting and cobwebs and like plastic candelabras and stuff. Like, it's not genuinely scary. It's like cheesy scary. Yeah. So it's really, really weird.
That's the Halloween room.
Yeah. In this mansion. Yeah. She turns around and some guy in a truly horrible werewolf mask jumps out and yells in her face. And like, honestly, what is happening? This is still all because of a scooter? Okay. So she hits him with a guitar and says, why are you going around scaring people? And it's like, you broke into his house. So he takes off the mask and he reveals that he's a young, cute, I guess, guy. And they exchange a look. This rich kid is Lloyd, and he recognizes Billie Jean and grabs his camera and asks if she wants to be a star. The other runaways come upstairs, and Binks pulls his fake gun, but Lloyd turns on the TV, and then they flip through a series of news stories about them to reveal that their situation has been super sensationalized, with stories of them robbing liquor stores and being high on drugs and stuff. It's all these eyewitnesses, and all the things they're saying are just completely fake. So they flip to a channel playing the movie about Joan of Arc. Lloyd explains that Joan of Arc shaved her head and dressed as a man to outwit the English, but then the French burned her alive, ultimately. Then this richy rich kid jumps out of the window of his Party City Halloween aisle of a bedroom directly onto a water slide that goes into a pool. What?
Because rich.
The runaways follow suit, and they all splash into the pool, except for Billie Jean, who stays behind up in the room to watch the rest of Joan of Arc with grave intensity.
She's into it.
Mm-hmm. So Billie Jean asks Lloyd to set up his camera, and she says that she's going to the bathroom and that she'll be right out. And then the runaways are all out by the pool, and Lloyd has his camera set up, and we get one of the most badass reveals in film history. So first we see Billie Jean's kind of reflection in the pool, and then the camera pans up to show her, and she looks freaking awesome. Yeah. First of all, her makeup is flawless, and then she's wearing combat boots and then these like super baggy, they're pleated and kind of high-waisted, like super baggy pants that are tucked into the boots, and then sort of fingerless gloves. And her top, I think, is a neoprene wetsuit with the sleeves cut off.
Yeah.
Okay. And it zipped down past her sternum. Mm-hmm. And then to top it all off, she cut off all her hair into like a sort of pixie sort of buzz cut.
Yeah, that no one can pull off in real life.
Oh, no.
But it looks amazing on her.
And that somehow she did with scissors. Yeah. It's like, has like a fade. It's really nice.
Yeah.
But I give this movie fat credit because they actually cut Helen Slater's hair. Yeah. And not like she was wearing a long blonde wig before and then now she has short hair. But her actual long hair short.
Her long, beautiful silver hair. Yeah, they cut it all off.
Yeah. Like in the movie, in the beginning of the movie, she has long hair and then now she has short hair. For real. And in real life, the person that was in charge of cutting her hair for the movie was a Christian and literally prayed before cutting Helen Slater's hair.
Can you imagine? The whole second half of the movie hinges on this haircut.
I know. Oh my gosh. So she sits in front of the camera and they start recording and she says that she's going to set the record straight, but then we don't get to see the actual video yet. So then the runaways are packing up their car to leave and Lloyd runs out and says that if they really want to get the money for this effing scooter for a scooter, they'll have to have leverage to negotiate with the cops. And as a rich kid with nothing else to do, he offers himself as a hostage and then he wraps himself in rope and puts tape over his mouth. And the runaways agree and load him into the car and off they go. Which at the end of the scene, I'm like, that's a super weird. Lloyd's pretty a pretty go with the flow guy because this group. And granted, he recognizes them, but they broke into his house, they ate cake, and then they shot a video, and she cut off all her hair, and then he's like, I'll be a hostage. This all happened in, 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, spoiler alert, he's looking for something to do, I think, so.
Yeah. All right, pick it up from here, Shannon.
All right, so in the next scene, we see a very adorable, very ginger little boy walking down a crowded sidewalk holding a parcel wrapped in a brown paper bag. He's headed for the Bayside County Courthouse.
Hey, this kid is far too young to be walking around the police station or on the street by himself. Yeah. He's what, 4?
He's a baby. And also, since when can you walk into a courthouse or a police station with an unmarked brown parcel? I don't know. That just seems a little reckless to me.
No kidding.
Jeez. Well, I guess it was a different time. Yeah. So... Inside the courthouse, the detectives working Billie Jean's case are confounded because all the sightings of the Billie Jean gang being reported are questionable and spread all over the state, and some have even been simultaneous.
Yeah.
So a frustrated Lieutenant Ringwald tells them to get rid of the corkboard where they've been pinning all the reported sightings. And as the lackeys are wheeling the board out of the room, the little ginger boy walks in and hands Ringwald the package. Ringwald looks in the paper bag and pulls out a videotape, a VHS, just as Billie Jean's broadcast appears on the TV in the room. The cops gather around to watch Billie Jean's manifesto, which includes a hostile message directed at Mr. Pyatt and a plea for hers and her brother's innocence. She also asks her mom to not believe all the lies the media is telling about them. Hey, maybe call home once in a while.
Yeah.
And Billie Jean demands the $608 for the scooter.
Fair is fair. We didn't start this. We didn't mean it to happen, but we're not giving up till you pay. Fair is fair.
Yeah, fair is fair.
That was going to be the title of the movie. Still glad they didn't go with that title.
Yeah. I mean, it's the watchword in the movie for sure. They say it so much, but so boring.
But also, you bring up a good point. I guess if we track this closer, we would know how many days at this point they've been gone. But when you said that, I'm like, what has her mom been doing this whole time? Just wondering where they are, not talking
to
them?
It's weird, right? I mean, this could be 2 days. This could be less than 48 hours. It's hard to know, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a phone call to headquarters reveals that the Trailer Park Gang have taken a hostage. At Lloyd's house, we see Ringwald in the bathroom caressing Billie Jean's discarded hair. She's clever. He's proud of her. It's still weird.
It's still gross. Yeah. Also, just the idea of picking up discarded hair of somebody else and being petting it like a cat.
The district attorney arrives in a helicopter that parks on the mansion's lawn. Take that, taxpayers. And it turns out that the DA is Lloyd's father.
Aha!
So Ringwald and DA Muldaur, I guess this is his name, or Muldaur, Something to that effect. They're walking and talking about how they're going to get Lloyd back when they come upon a tableau of discarded Halloween masks and half-eaten cake and Oreo cookies.
I'm sorry about what happened, Mr. Muldaur. We'll get him back.
You think he was kidnapped?
Don't you?
Never can tell what that boy's going to do. You see this girl on TV?
Yeah, me and half the country.
This doesn't look like a kidnapping. It looks like a party.
I think it was. I think this is a bunch of kids having a fine old time.
So Ringwald discloses that he thinks Binks's gun was a toy, since the cops found a bunch of IOUs at the toy store in the mall where the Pyatt meeting took place. We cut to Lloyd trying to make a ransom video.
Please, Dad, do whatever they say. These are heavy-duty criminals. Oh, God.
Ophelia runs up with a stack of newspapers and excitedly tells the gang that the reward for Lloyd is $10,000. Lloyd is disappointed that he's only worth $10,000, and when Ophelia further reads that Lloyd's dad has asked that the teens make sure that Lloyd takes his pills, Lloyd says that he hasn't had a pill since they left his house and he hasn't wheezed once. Now, if you think this is going to pay off in a big way later, where Lloyd has like a near-death asthma attack and scares some reality into the kids, you're wrong. This never pays off. We never hear about Lloyd's pills or condition ever again.
Seriously, then like why bring this up? Because it kind of makes it seem like, oh no, it's higher stakes.
Yeah, exactly. So weird.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't just take that out, but... After reading the newspaper article, Billie Jean confronts Lloyd about his father being the DA, and Lloyd says that his dad never negotiates and that he's not even really worried about Lloyd. So Lloyd's got a chip on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. Lloyd changes the conversation and tells Billie Jean that she's getting too famous and that they need to get her a wig. Okay.
Glad I cut all my hair off then, I guess.
Yeah. Great solution. Back at Mr. Pyatt's store, we see that he has merchandised the holy hell out of Billie Jean's name and likeness. Posters of her half naked, hats, and other, like another t-shirt that I actually want.
Is it the pink one that says Billie
Yes.
Jean across the front? Yeah. He's also made a giant, almost two-story tall effigy of her, and it is so ugly.
Yes.
It looks like a plaster pinata with worm hair. They really didn't get it right.
It is, yeah, papier-mâché at its worst. Absolutely. That thing is terrible. Pyatt is rattling on about, quote, kids running wild, which is a very 80s thing that adults fully thought was happening at the time, what with music videos and cults and whatnot. And seriously, guys, kids running wild was a major concern of the adults in this era. Google PMRC, freaking Tipper Gore. It will make you so mad.
And like, with what evidence? Just that kids were like just hanging out in the street like kids always do? What is this running wild?
I don't know. Like, because they were wearing black t-shirts and smoking cigarettes, I guess. Stakes were high. Gosh. It was bad.
Yeah. Satanic panic, maybe?
Yes.
I don't know what else.
That's the same era. Yep. So Muldaur says that he wants roadblocks, helicopters, and additional police assigned to the case. We find out through exposition from Ringwald that DA Muldaur is running for attorney general. So his big show of law and order here is an obvious just show of political power.
Yeah.
Outside of a wig shop, Billie Jean and Putter are waiting in the grocery getter when a small group of little kids come shyly up to the car and ask if she is indeed Billie Jean. When Putter affirms, the kids say that Kenny needs help. Billie Jean and her amazing cowboy boots follow the kids down the sidewalk as they're joined by more and more neighborhood kids until they're like this huge mob standing outside of a little gray shack.
AKA the Council of Ugly Haircuts. Like, okay, so I know the 80s were not a kind time for hairstyles,
no.
But wow. Like... One kid in particular, check out the visuals. You'll see him. You'll see him.
It's so funny because this whole crowd of kids is just the most very average 80s kids. It's not over-costumed. It's not, like, sensationalized. These are just like very average kids of the day. And that's kind of what I like about this movie, because at the mall, too, you can just see just regular people walking around wearing, you know, what they were wearing, like not costumed.
And it looks like they either went through the neighborhood where they were filming or posted a thing at like local schools or malls and were just like, hey, we need extras for the scene. If you're between these ages, like show up and we'll use you. But clearly, based on this one kid, there was no kind of like screening for like, oh, we just want like attractive, you know. No. It was just like,
are you average? Then I'll do it.
This kid is a teamster in the 80s.
Inside the shack, we hear the sound of domestic violence. Billie Jean tentatively walks up to the house and through the front door, and just inside the door, she sees a terrified little boy crouched down behind a chair. She tells him to get his things so they can leave, but a sweaty, unshaven abuser holding a belt bellows at the boy to stay put and confronts Billie Jean. So Billie Jean takes the boy outside to cheers from the still-growing crowd. Binks is signing a kid's cast, and they are officially hero celebrities. Okay, just an aside here. Billie Jean announces to the crowd at this point that little Kenny is going to be spending some time with his grandma. And it seems like they're loading him into the wagon to take him there. But later, and when I say later, I mean like 5 seconds later, he's nowhere to be seen. So what happened to Kenny?
Yeah, because at first I was like, oh, maybe he's like lying down in the back of the station wagon.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
But then there's no... I mean, from what is about to happen, it seems like he would be very present in the scenes if he was there.
No.
I don't know.
What happened. Like, maybe they left him with the crowd and his grandma came and picked him up. I guess it doesn't matter. Why are we talking about it? But still, like, it's such a strange thing that happened.
How mean if they're like, okay, we're gonna get you out of here, and they get his bag and then they just walk him out to the car and then they all get in the car and drive away and they're like, okay, bye, good luck.
There's a payphone on the corner, go call your grandma.
Go call your gam gam to pick you up.
Oh, poor Kenny. So right after the announcement that Kenny's going to go live with his grandma, the gang pulls away from the curb in the mom mobile, and a truck comes up from behind.
Stop the car, it's our...
Who?
Billie Jean, back there.
Are you kidding me? God damn!
What in the hell are you doing?
I'm getting us a down payment on the house, $10,000.
You can't shoot him!
Let go of me! I'm going for the tires.
Try it on.
Okay, so he was going for the tires, but he unloaded 2 shotgun shells directly into the back window of a moving vehicle with children in it. WTF, Texas.
Seriously. And all for the sake of, like, his whole thing is like, oh, well, there's a bounty on this, you know, hostage's head, so I'm going to shoot out the tires. But then it's like, you're going to kill the hostage.
Yeah, he's got no aim. Like, 5 feet high.
And of the DA's son, he's not going to be cool with that if you're like, oh, here's your dead son. She's like, oh, well, you're going to prison forever.
Yeah, there's no collateral damage when it comes to human beings.
Yeah.
Gosh. Ophelia obviously freaks out, and a high-speed chase ensues. The truck ends up flipping, and the teens get away. And just a quick aside here about the truck flipping, they couldn't get that truck to flip because the tires were so wide. It took so long, and they had to, like, rig a special thing finally to get it to flip. And then even in the scene that made it into the movie, you can see that it, like, it kind of jimmies back and forth. Like, it doesn't look like it's going to actually go over, so.
Yeah, because it's like it's a truck built for this.
For never
so
flipping.
It's like yeah, it's a giant pickup on huge tires. And the way that it flips is that it goes up, like, a freeway embankment.
Yeah.
And you can tell, and it's also on, like, I don't know, struts or shocks or whatever, so it can totally handle the angle of it. So it's just kind of like skipping around a little, and you can tell that they had to do some real work to get it to flip, because it's like, no, this is what this truck is for.
Yeah, they should have used a more feeble truck, but in the end, they got it to flip. So Billie Jean thinks that Putter's been shot because she sees blood on her, but it's not that kind of blood, period stuff.
Why?
The station wagon now has a flat tire, and as Lloyd's trying and failing to fix it, we see Billie Jean bathing, river bathing Putter. So weird. Why would she need a whole bath? I don't get it. It's just weird. Putter's a woman now, and we get this beaut of a line.
I want you to take it easy. You can stretch out in the back of the car.
When can I get a diaphragm?
I don't like hearing Lisa Simpson say that.
The gang has bedded down in the incapacitated station wagon for the night, and Billie Jean is telling Binks a fairy story about what it's like to live in Vermont to calm him down after the day's events. Billie Jean and Lloyd take a walk along the water to talk about possible solutions to their problem, hitchhiking to Vermont being one of them. Frickin' Vermont.
I know.
I guess Vermont is what you would dream about if you were too hot in Texas, so. As Billie Jean is musing about Joan of Arc, Lloyd leans in for a kiss.
This isn't working.
That's because we're standing up.
Not us. Putter and Ophelia, I have to get them out of this.
What, are you going to turn them in?
So Billie Jean nods her head reluctantly, and the next morning we see a convoy of police cars arrive at the dock to pick up Putter and Ophelia, both still sleeping in the back of the wagon. Ringwald asks where the girls are, or asks the girls where Billie Jean is, and Ophelia says, she's everywhere, because she's an idea, get it? Like a movement, a philosophy. And also because all the town's teens are starting to dress like her.
Yeah. Also, okay, freaking Lieutenant, what's his name? Ringwald, wakes them up by slamming his boot on the tailgate where their heads are laying, where they're sleeping. If a dude woke me up like that while I was on my period, or like any time really, that boot and the foot inside it would be promptly shoved inside his own butthole.
It was super rude.
So rude.
Yeah.
So rude.
And like right before he does it, he kind of looks at the other lieutenant or whoever he's there with and kind of like smirks at him like, yeah, watch this.
Yeah. And all I'm thinking is like poor Putter probably has cramps and is like bleeding all over herself in this sleeping bag. If I got woken up like that, I'd be like, oh, your life is about to end.
Yeah, it was really jarring. Oh, we cut to a country club where Lloyd and Billie Jean are having a hushed huddle by some golf carts. Binks runs off to steal a valet parked convertible and tries to get Lloyd and Billie to stop arguing and get in. But it's too late. He's discovered by club security. Security gives chase, and the teens are split up. Binks and Lloyd run in one direction, and Billie Jean runs in the other. And now Billie Jean's running down the road when a car pulls up. The girl driving looks exactly like Billie Jean and offers her a ride. At the police station, Ringwald is interrogating Putter and Ophelia. He asks if Binks is using a real gun. The girls hedge and are interrupted by the reveal that some cops have Billie Jean in custody and brought her into the station. We now see four Billie Jean lookalikes, which proves the fact that adults don't pay attention to teenagers, even when one of them is a wanted criminal. Because these lookalikes, when they're led into lockup, the cops have no idea what Billie Jean looks like because one of the girls straight up has brown hair. So they're basically arresting any girl with short hair who also has an earring.
It's insane how much these girls look nothing like Billie Jean. But also like a pretty good Joker-esque escape plan to just have a bunch of decoys running around the city. Because if these cops are that face-blind when it comes to that, it's like, oh, well, this is a great plan for me.
Yeah, because a couple of the girls do have blonde hair and blue eyes, so it's just enough plausibility, I guess. Just then, Putter's abusive beast of a mother comes barreling into the station looking for her daughter. Putter's actually happy to see her, though, and squeals, Mommy! A nanosecond before this brick house of a woman cold cocks her daughter.
Putter Jacks! Mommy!
Putter, don't! Putter!
Oh my God.
that's the sound of Putter cutting her hair. She's had enough. Time to Billie Jean up. Billie Jean and some more clones are cruising around, evading cop cars. The lookalikes hand her off to a new girl with a different car, and this continues across the city as a radio DJ banters.
Where are you, Billie Jean? This is C101, your station, waiting for your call. Hello, who's this?
Tina.
Where are you calling from, Tina?
Tyler.
Tina from Tyler, you're terrific. Talk to me, Tina.
Billie Jean's the best. Fair is fair.
Fair is fair at C101. Hello, who's this?
This is Dave, and I think she's hot. Give her the money, man.
Are you listening, Billie Jean? There is 608 down at 101. Get over here, girl, and pick it up. That's right, Billie Jean. It's been pouring in from all over the state. The C101 Billie Jean Scooter Fund. You stay out there long enough, you can buy your brother 10 scooters. Line 4, you're on the air.
Me and my girlfriends are cutting our hair just like you, Billie Jean. Fair is fair.
It's not exactly clear where Billie Jean's trying to get to, or if she's just killing time till the manhunt dies down. A very inspirational montage set to Pat Benatar's Invincible shows Billie Jean's journey through a sort of underground railroad of admiring teens. We see some Ferris Fair bumper stickers on teen cars. And then in arguably the most aspirational feminist moment of the 80s, Billie Jean walks into some kind of industrial warehouse slash bunker slash hideout to cheers and applause from a lot of admiring teens who have all gathered to either help her or just to meet her. This is the scene that was originally written and filmed to be a rave where everyone was dancing, but it was rewritten and reshot. I know.
I don't know which one would have been better because this is really inspirational.
It is. This one's like really understated and like feels more real.
Yeah.
If it was filmed as a rave, it would have sort of felt like she sort of just stumbled into someone else's deal.
Yeah. Exactly. This seems more like they all gathered there to support her, whereas if it was a rave, it'd be like, oh, Billie Jean's here at our rave that we're already all at.
Yeah. They probably made the right call. Although I would have loved to have seen that dance scene.
Of course.
All Texas teens have fallen in love with Billie Jean. She's given them something to believe in. With all the police roadblocks and the checkpoints set up all over the city, Billie Jean has to keep switching cars. In one of the cars, a girl asks her why she doesn't just go to Mexico since they can't touch her down there. But Billie Jean says she can't. She has to find her brother, which I sort of forgot about. So maybe that's why she's driving around town. Eventually, Billie Jean ends up back at the same place that the Runaways saga began, the abandoned mini golf course. She does find Binks and Lloyd already there. Billie Jean and Lloyd bed down in one of the course obstacles to talk about how everything has gotten too crazy. They kiss a bunch. The next day,
it's like a little cottage.
it's weird. I didn't know you could fit people in there, but I guess you can.
Yeah.
The next day, Ringwald shows up at the kids' spot. It turns out that he had the station wagon towed into headquarters, and when he searched it, he found a bunch of golf balls in the back with the course's logo stamped on them. So, good job, guys.
Yeah.
Ringwald assumes Billie Jean and Binks are there, and he hollers out some words of compromise about fixing Binks's scooter.
I want to make a bargain with you, Billie Jean. You listening? Won't you turn yourselves in to me? I want Lloyd home and safe. And you too. Damn it. You listening, Binks? I'll have that scooter fixed up better than new. We got to end this, kids, you hear? We got to end this now. I want y'all to pick up the phone and call me and say yes. You hear?
Binks is wistful about the idea of a new scooter. And don't forget, the scooter is the whole reason that they're in this mess.
Oh my gosh, it's just a scooter. And now they're homeless criminal fugitives. Was it worth it? For a Honda Elite, I'll never accept this. Continue.
I know. I get that. But also don't forget that it was somehow his dad left him money and that's what he spent the money on. So it's like his dad is the scooter. I don't know.
I mean, I understand. I understand like emotional attachments to things, and it's very sentimental, and it's like the one thing that he has in his whatever. They portray it to be like a kind of crap heap life, but I'm like, okay, they live in a trailer. That's, you know, people live in trailers. It's not terrible. But like, so I understand that aspect of it, but like, zoom out. It's a scooter and you guys have shot a man. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Billie Jean calls Ringwald to make a deal about the scooter anyway. So they set up a meeting spot to swap Lloyd for the scooter. The meeting spot is on the beach near Pyatt's store, and Pyatt wonders why Billie Jean set the meeting there. Is she trying to make a point? A huge crowd is gathering on the beach, sporting Billie Jean shirts and hats. Some spaz grabs a frisbee with Billie Jean's face on it and chucks it blindly into a crowd full of unsuspecting people. It miraculously doesn't hit anybody, but I can't believe it didn't hit anybody.
Rude.
Billie Jean and Binks' mom is also there, and in talking to reporters, she gleefully says she doesn't know what Billie Jean wants to say, but she can recite the Gettysburg Address for all I care. Okay, this is bizarre. Billie Jean has been missing and on the run from the law for some days now.
And they haven't talked?
Yeah. It's weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it was not as easy as we think it would be to call somebody. I don't know. It's weird. Police show up to the beach and try to restore order to the rowdy crowd, and we get this.
You boys with the beard, climb down off the roof now.
Did he say beard or beer?
Beer. Okay. Either way.
You kids with the beard. I don't know. That was just such a funny, I feel like that was an ad lib. D.A. Muldaur is pissed that Ringwald has allowed the crowd to grow so big. Ringwald says that even if he had barricaded the road, they would have come by water on surfboards. Putter and Ophelia pull up. Putter is sporting a brand new haircut that looks like she went at it with a pair of scissors that she found lying around a police station. Oh, wait, that's exactly what she did. Anyway, this just proves my point that pixie cuts are not for everyone, and poor Putter, it's going to take like a year for that to grow out.
Oh boy. Yardley Smith did not go the Helen Slater route of actually cutting her hair, and thank Jeebus this is just a wig because it looks so bad. But also I wondered how they got all her hair up in that wig, because her actual hair is thick, and it was like you said, it was like down to her waist. Which is why she didn't cut it for the movie. But also I found out that the reason that she's wearing this blazer with a pop collar in this scene is because it's hiding her gigantic ponytail sticking out of the back of the wig and going down her back.
Yeah. That's why she's kind of stiff in this scene too, because she kind of can't really move.
Because
she don't, her the rest of her hair would show from under the wig.
Yeah, but man, that wig looks awful.
Oh, it's so bad. Talk about bad 80s haircuts.
Yeah.
The girls join the fray in waiting for Billie Jean to show up. Suddenly, two jeeps arrive atop a dune, and Ringwald is pissed, asking who called in the sharpshooters.
Yes!
It turns out Muldaur did, in an elaborate show of political power, not really because he's worried for his son.
Literal dudes with guns get out in this, like, crowd of
and
people
so many
at
of
the
them.
Beach.
There's, like, six of them. Unnecessary.
Yeah.
There's so much going on in the scene, too, by the way. So now a tractor trailer shows up towing something that's covered by a tarp. I'm guessing it's the refurbished scooter. Suddenly the crowd erupts in chants of fair is fair. And we see coming up over the sand dune two people silhouetted by a magnificent sunset. It's Billie Jean and her hostage.
Okay. And it is a totally amazing sunset shot. Like, the sun is huge and you see them. But it's also hilarious because literally 1 second before this shot, it was clearly bright mid-afternoon sun. Like, everyone's sweating and you can see the sun is in their eyes. It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then they're like, what's that? And they pan over and it's sunset.
Yeah. Well, it works for the scene. But yeah.
Oh, totally.
It was definitely like a continuity thing for sure.
and probably like a look, we have this like 5 minute window of this light, so we're gonna get it, and wherever we get it, we're putting it in the movie. Yeah. So I understand. Yeah.
But as the camera pans up, as the couple are walking across the sand, we see hairy legs, and we realize that it's actually Binks bringing Lloyd to the cops at gunpoint. The moment is tense as Binks is trying to find his scooter in the crowd. The camera pans the faces, and we see a surly Hubie and a concerned mom. A curly-wigged Billie Jean is also in the crowd. She jumps up on the trailer and pulls back the tarp to reveal Binks's like-new scooter. And when Binks spots the scooter, he is so mesmerized by it, he, like, forgets what he's doing. And he doesn't even see Hubie break free of the police barricade and come running across the sand. And as he gets a little nearer, smart Hubie realizes the ruse and sounds the alarm.
It's not her! Not Billie Jean! It's her brother!
No, no, no!
Shut up, Hubie!
It's not her! It's her brother! It's her brother! He's wearing dress!
In that clip, it sounds like he calls him Pubie, and I hope that people call him Pubie in his real life.
Pubie Lewis. Oh, so in that moment of confusion, Binks points his toy gun at Hubie, causing the sharpshooters to let one fly right into Binks' shoulder. There's a lot of screaming and running, and Binks is loaded into an ambulance, which is suddenly there. Billie Jean and the crowd are running behind the ambulance. Billie Jean stops, she's crying, and then she notices a huge merch tent full of exploitation posters with her picture and shirts with her name and frisbees with her face on them.
And the Billie Jean t-shirt that I want post-haste.
Yeah. Which one is that?
The one with her face with like the Target behind
it.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's cool.
That's a good one.
So many good merchandising ideas. It sucks that it was,
I know,
this gross guy was doing it.
Also, I'm pretty sure this shirt exists somewhere.
I know. Like I was wondering the same thing. There was so much merch. Like, but I mean, I don't know if the movie did so well to have so much merchandising. So,
yeah.
Billie Jean rips off her disguise and she spots Pyatt fussing with some racks of clothes. She starts slowly making her way over to him. And without her wig on, the crowd is now becoming aware that she is indeed the Billie Jean. And so they start congregating behind her. Billie Jean confronts Pyatt and finds out that it wasn't him that paid for the scooter. It was Muldaur. Pyatt tries to palm a sweaty wad of cash into Billie Jean's hand.
Ew.
I know. Quote, for her trouble. This infuriates her, and she begins her verbal assault on a man who is not worth 1 second of her time.
You pig. You don't even know what a pig you are. For my trouble, or to keep my mouth shut, or maybe for a few minutes in your room upstairs. How much is that worth to you, Mr. Pyatt? Tell us. Everyone's listening.
Nobody forced you up there. You knew damn well what you were doing.
What about our lessons? Pay as you go, earn as you learn. What were you going to teach me, Mr. Pyatt?
You lying piece of trash.
And you said I was going to love it. Love being touched by a man like you.
I'm sick and tired of your mouth, you little slut. It's over!
Billie Jean says it is over, but that she can't keep all the money that he gave her. She gives Pyatt his change in the form of a very competent knee to the nuts. Pyatt drops
her
like a
signature move.
Pyatt drops like a stone, and so does a lit tiki torch onto a bunch of hay that's there for some reason. Billie Jean tells Pyatt to go buy somebody else and hurls the cash at him.
So I guess they aren't going to pay back all those Toy Store IOUs after
oh,
all.
Oh, dang. I forgot.
Cool. Also, wasn't the whole point of this entire fiasco to get Mr. Pyatt to pay for the scooter?
Yes.
So now he does, and she throws the money back at him. So then, like, what was the point of all this? Okay. Once again, they have now shot a man, committed theft, held a hostage, run from police, and resisted arrest, presumably killed that man and his girlfriend who flipped over in the high-speed chase, and got Bink shot all over a scooter. And I know, like, justice and fair is fair, etc. I get all that stuff. I get all the, like, subtext of what's going on. But I can't take any of this seriously because it's just an effing scooter. And also, like, just take the money and donate it. Just take the money.
I know.
Send it to Kenny and his gammy. take the money.
I know. Take the money. She definitely should have taken the money. There were so many reasons to take it. Like literally making him pay, figuratively making him pay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that scene was weird. I mean, you know, it's the whole ideal thing. So I guess
that's the thing. And I get like the principles, I get all of it, but you have to weigh that against the fact that every single time mm-hmm. she's made a phone call to Ringwald or made a video, all she says is, we just want our $608. Yeah. We just want what's coming to us. Fair is fair. That's the platform for her whole campaign.
Yeah. Right. So Pyatt tried to make it fair and she didn't accept it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, Pyatt impotently tries to collect all the strewn bills that she's thrown at him as his tent burns. And Hubie, who has watched the scene unfold, now disappears back into the crowd.
He like Homer Simpsons yes. into the shrub.
Yes. Pyatt beseeches Hubie and the crowd to get water and help put out the fire because the whole damn thing is going to go up. But instead of helping him, the crowd, led by Lloyd, begin to remove their Billie Jean merch and toss it into the fire. The town recognizes that Billie Jean's fight wasn't theirs, it was her own, and turning her into an icon was the wrong move. Mm. Billie Jean looks skyward to see the giant paper mache likeness of her jutting up from the center of the tent and becoming engulfed in flames.
See, because Joan of Arc.
Oh, right. The screen fades from fire to ice and snow, and now we're in the backcountry of Vermont. A bundled up Billie Jean stands on the side of the road with her thumb out, trying to hitch a ride, and behind her, Binks comes out of a convenience store. He's alive! And spots a snowmobile parked near the door, exclaiming, "Far out!" It's the same color and vaguely the same shape as his scooter. And we freeze on Binks and the snowmobile as the credits roll.
Shut up, Binks. Your unhealthy attachment to material possessions is what got us into this hellscape in the first place. Just shaking my head the whole time you were describing that hole where he sees the snowmobile. Yeah. It's like, freaking no.
I know.
Absolutely not. Okay, also, I have questions. Are we supposed to believe that they're still on the run from the law? Because they still committed a lot of crimes, like the ones I just listed. So, and she's hitchhiking.
Yeah.
So are they on the run? Is their mom just cool with them living on the road? Because their mom doesn't seem to be in Vermont.
Right.
So are they homeless in Vermont? Seems like a bad plan. It snows there. What is happening?
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that. Well, there's a look that she exchanges with the lieutenant as she's leaving the scene of the fire in that scene. Mm-hmm. Like, she turns around and kind of bumps right into him, like he's standing right there, and they sort of make eye contact, and he kind of smirks at her, and then she walks away. So, yeah, did he, like, let them go, and now they're on the run? Good question. I have no idea.
Because that's the thing. Are police officers known for having to waste a ton of time and resources?
Yeah.
Chasing somebody around Texas and then being like, let's just call it even.
Seriously, so many man hours, helicopters, sharpshooters, like
the DA got involved.
Millions of taxpayer dollars.
There was a hostage. I just can't see them being like, okay, well, you got your scooter and this guy did, you know, assault you.
Yeah,
so
right.
We're going to call even. It even.
It's fair, like, is fair.
Fair is fair. I don't know. I don't feel like this whole like, oh, yay, they finally made it to Vermont is like a satisfactory ending
not.
To this movie.
It's not. And actually, I had forgotten that it freeze frames on Binks and the snowmobile. And that was so confusing for me. I was like, what? I mean, you know, like I said earlier, the scooter was the MacGuffin. I get it. It's the reason that everything happens.
Yeah.
And the snowmobile is just a cold scooter, I guess. It was really not the ending I wanted.
Yeah. I guess if it had shown them living in Vermont, like if the whole family had moved there.
Yeah, but it's still sad, right?
Yeah, because they're still hitchhiking, yeah. And she looks at him like, hey, come on, we have to go. Yeah. And it's not that much later. His arm is in a sling.
That's so, right, yeah.
What? Okay, well, I guess that's the end. that was a good one. All right, well, thanks for joining us for this episode. Come back next week because we are going to cover one of the most listener-requested films, Pretty in Pink.
Oh, yeah.
I know. It's time to settle this Ducky versus Blaine situation once and for all. Like, is there any chance it's Blaine? Spoiler, no. No.
Oh.
But I can't wait to hear everyone's opinion about it. So, yeah, come back next week. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye. Join us each week for a new episode of So 5 Minutes Ago. Check out our Instagram at So5MinutesAgoPod with the number 5 to see visuals and clips from the show. You can also get in touch with us at So5MinutesAgoPod@gmail.com. And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Special thanks to Dave Quiggle for creating our podcast music. Talk to you all next week.
Please, so 5 minutes ago.